Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. It's been called the GOP's best shot for picking up a congressional seat in Massachusetts, the 10th district, currently held by retiring Democratic Congressman Bill Delahunt. The district includes most of the South Shore and all of the Cape and Islands. And in the special Senate race earlier this year, it voted 60% for Republican Scott Brown. The contenders for the seat are Norfolk County District Attorney Bill Keating, who's a Democrat, and Republican State Representative Jeff Perry, who talked about his plans for Washington after he won the Republican primary election 2 weeks ago.
If you send Jeff Perry to Washington, I will be part of a wave sweeping across this country that will result in 39 or more Republicans elected who will remove Nancy Pelosi from the Speaker's chair.
We spoke with Jeff Perry the day after the primary, and we're now joined in the studio by his opponent, the Democratic nominee, Bill Keating. Mr. Keating, welcome to Radio Boston.
Great. I like to be here. I listen to this show, believe it or not.
Fantastic. Listeners, we have Bill Keating in the studio. He's available to take your questions if you have any for him. So give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Mr. Keating, as we just heard, Jeff Perry talked about a wave of Republican wins across the country. Does this feel to you like a tough election cycle to be running as a Democrat for a congressional seat?
Well, I think sometimes if you've lost as much hair as I have over the years, talking about waves makes you uncomfortable. But in the political sense, I don't think anything's established yet. People are upset. Their institutions, the largest institutions that represent us on the private and public side, have failed people so miserably during this time. But the anger has even gone deeper. It's gone deeper into issues of trust. And I think that looking at what's going to happen in this district versus what's going to happen nationally is what people are most concerned about as I've campaigned. And the issue they're concerned about, there's just a lack of basic trust in the people that have represented them. And in this case, I think there's two levels of that trust. There's one with the candidate themselves. My opponent has had a troubled relationship with the truth in the past, and there's that fundamental level that most people have to first look at. And then I think there's a feeling of trust of who's going to be battling for them, who's going to be battling for the middle class. Is that trust there, or are you going to be a person that talks the talk and then when they get in Washington forgets who they're battling for? So I think there's those two levels of trust in this particular campaign that are much more relevant and much more fundamental than any kind of national wave that's going on.
You just referenced Jeff Perry's troubled relationship with the truth in the past, and that's a reference, of course, to when he was a sergeant in the Wareham Police Department. Some officers that he supervised illegally strip-searched two teenage girls.
Well, I think it's a pattern as well. I think that if you look at even, it's not just me saying that as an opponent. His former chief has said that under oath when he said that Jeff had failed to tell the whole truth. It was his former supervisor, which was, again, matters of record, where he said that he has a lot of bull that he talks and you shouldn't trust him with a gun. And there's bar exam application where that was not answered truthfully. And there was also the degree that from a school that didn't exist that was posted in front of voters. So there's more than just the instance of the sexual assaults that occurred with the teenage girls where records have contradicted his statements and where he was enabling and covering up.
And I want to note again, clarify again, as we had before on the show, that Perry is not accused of participating in the strip searches, but he was supervising officers who were accused. Now, you said during your primary election victory speech that you intend to hold him accountable. How do you intend to hold him accountable?
Well, I think that ultimately the voters hold us all accountable. That just means this. I've spent my life working with victims. I worked with victims and got the top awards when I was in the legislature with them, standing up, working on the Victims' Bill of Rights. And I became a district attorney where I worked with victims on case-by-case basis and even with no money created a center for victims, child victims of sexual assault, where we took drug trafficking money gathered it together and used it along with establishing a nonprofit to found a center for children that are victims of sexual assault. So I have worked with victims my whole life, and I'm not going to turn my back on victims. In this instance, two teenage girls who were sexually assaulted, when I'm in this position as well. So it's not just about my opponent. I think it's part of me, too. I just won't turn my back on victims.
When we had Jeff Perry on this show earlier this month, we asked him about your comments about the illegal strip search controversy. He called it mudslinging, and he predicted it wouldn't work as you try to use it to run against him. And this is exactly what Perry said.
My primary opponent made it the central point of his campaign. He did mailings. He did radio ads. Every chance he got to talk to the media, he tried to do this guilt by association thing. That wasn't new for me. When I ran for office the first time in 2002, I was a challenger to a Democratic incumbent. In fact, I'm the last Republican to beat a Democratic incumbent, and the same tactic was used. It didn't work in 2002. It didn't work in the Republican primary. I've won five elections in a row with folks trying to throw mud at me. I am a very positive, optimistic person. I'm going to stay true to my values and talk about the issues. And I think if Mr. Keating decides to make this a negative campaign, he's going to do it at his own peril and have the same result on Election Day that others who have tried.
So what do you say to his charges that this is nothing more than mudslinging and it won't be effective in the campaign?
Well, there's stepping in the mud and there's getting mud slung at you. I think he stepped in the mud. And it's just not this one instance. And it's just not the specifics of it. If you look at this pattern over 20 years where your chief is telling under oath that you're lying, where your supervisor doesn't trust you and says you're lying, where you lie in your bar application to become a lawyer, where you put out to the voters that you have a diploma from a school that doesn't exist. Joe Malone said there's a lot of deceit there, talking about him, and he says that there's what he's says something and the court records say another. So it's not an issue where people are saying things. It's an issue where there's actual court records and other records there. I mean, in terms of the sexual assault, and it was a sexual assault, I don't know, people get confused with the term strip search, but it was a sexual assault. And what's interesting is it wasn't a case which we often have when we have cases in court where it's he said, she said. The actual perpetrator pled guilty to all these things occurring. And Jeff was five steps away in a darkened cranberry bog with the flashlights on that victim and said, he said first that he was positioned in a way, had this occurred, he would have seen it. But the person that did that pled guilty and took 4 years of a prison sentence and said it occurred.
And you've been very clear that that will be key to your campaign.
Well,
However, this week, the National Republican Congressional Committee announced that it plans to buy ads that target you and that call you a tax and spend Democrat. Are you worried about that message and the money the group could spend to attack you?
Well, we're worried in this after the Supreme Court cases where all kinds of money can come to Tea Party candidates like Jeff and other candidates, you're always concerned that, you know, the money will shape the elections. I mean, the president was concerned about that. I'll never forget the moment when he was doing the State of the Union speech and looked right at the Supreme Court justices and said that. But one other thing, of course you're worried about the money, but when it comes to a record, certainly I'm a sponsor, chief sponsor of the estate tax cut in Massachusetts and actually another tax cut and led the fight to repeal a sales tax. So, you know, I have a moderate record on taxes, so I'd welcome that. I think a person that you can trust as an official will be able to make tax cuts that help people in their lives when they're necessary. And if they have to, if the state is in trouble and you're trying to balance it, they'll do what they have to do on the other side of the ledger. But in this campaign, I do think it's two levels of trust, not just the personal level, but if you look at the issues that I think will shape this campaign, there's a level of who's going to be battling for the needs of the middle class people that are hurting so much right now, that are out of work, the economy's poor, the stress on our family life. As a DA, I have even seen instances where people were out of work, depressed, self-medicated, and took their own lives. So this is real.
We have callers who want to raise some issues with you. So let me bring one in. And this is John from Plymouth. Hi, John. I understand that you would vote for Keating, but you have an issue you want to raise anyway.
Yeah, I just want to say, Mr. Keating, I voted for your predecessor, Mr. Delahunt. I've been a lifelong Democrat. I just think it's kind of a no-brainer, the Perry Amendment. I don't know where you stand on that. But it isn't about, you know, it is about jobs, as you just said. My daughter just came back from University of New Hampshire. She's having a terrible time. And I do see that some people are competing for those jobs, and I think that that's a very important issue. And it's a very important issue to my friends who have kids, my friends who don't have jobs, and I think it's a no-brainer, the Perry Amendment. So, I mean, these are the types of things that the Democrats need to pick up the ball.
Well, you're talking
to a lifelong
Joe.
Democrat.
John, thanks, Joe.
John, thanks for
John,
that. Mr. Keating, do you first want to explain what the Perry Amendment is? And then
well, the Perry Amendment never passed. The Perry Amendment reinforced what the existing law was so that Massachusetts people that deserve to get Massachusetts benefits, the Massachusetts residents themselves, get those benefits and not people that aren't here legally. And I don't believe in amnesty. I'm a district attorney. I believe in the law. If people are not obeying the law, then they should not receive benefits that law-abiding residents do. I do believe that, though, when you're saying I believe in the law, that goes to companies, too. These companies are the ones profiting so much with the use of people like this. And I think we should do more to make sure we're enforcing that against companies. And we'd be done more effectively as well so that I know about the law. I know about this. I think that we can strengthen our borders as well. And then the fact that these things are being discussed state by state is another example how Washington has failed us. This should be done in Washington.
Bill Keating, do you think if there are legal immigrants in Massachusetts who are not yet citizens, should legal immigrants be receiving benefits?
Not unless the residents and not unless the benefits are geared towards residents of Massachusetts. If they are, then you have to be a resident of Massachusetts. So I believe that as well. I know about enforcing the law as a district attorney when there's criminals that are before us or defendants. We've worked with ICE. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. We've sent thousands of people to the attention of ICE, so I know how to enforce the law. I think the real issue here is this, that you can't have 50 different immigration plans for each state. Washington should have dealt with this years ago, and it's an example, I believe, of why people are so upset. The reason it's being held up is the partisanship that's going on. People view this as a wedge issue. They don't want to go to the floor or they don't want to make tough votes the way they should in Washington. And that's causing the difficulty where states feel compelled to go forward. You know, there's just too much partisanship and not enough citizenship going on in Washington.
Let's bring up another issue. This is Mark from Rockland who has a question about tax cuts. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mr. Keating. How are you today?
Hey, Mark.
Hi. The reason why I'm calling about the Bush era tax cuts. I feel like it's been contributed to the really the spiraling out of control of this economy, and I feel like if it goes forward, it could be devastating for our economies if those tax cuts are granted to the top 1% of Americans. I want to know how you plan to vote on that if you were elected to Congress, and just where you stand on that tax cut overall.
Well, that's the issue of the day in Congress right now, where, again, the partisan bickering back and forth and posturing has resulted in nothing being done. I think that those tax cuts that were geared to middle class should be extended because these are fragile times for our economy. A lot of those people will be spending that money because they'll be spent on necessities. That's going to help our economy. And number two, people need it to get by. But if people are serious about the deficit problem, they have to realize that for the 2% at the higher end, that translates into $700 billion more on our deficit. And we're giving tax cuts to those people at that income level that aren't in the same financial straits as the middle class people. And I think it's one of the issues in this campaign. If you're going to battle for the middle class, then you fight for the middle class tax cuts. If you're going to be an ideologue and just say, I'm interested in the top 2% and those wealthy people because I have some kind of philosophical thing about taxes, not in the real world, but in the world of ideology, then you're not in the real world and you're not serious about the deficit.
Let me bring in another caller. This goes briefly back to Perry, but I think it's worth hearing because it's a caller who thinks it's sort of the wrong road to go down to focus on the illegal strip search controversy. And this is David from Fall River. So, David, you think that Keating should lay off the Perry sex scandal?
Yes. Good afternoon, folks. I'm calling from Fall River, Massachusetts. I just want to call in. I'm a registered Democrat. I've been a Democrat since I was in single digits, probably. Handed out my first paraphernalia when I was 12 years old. My father and Robert Kennedy were good friends. I'm calling Mr. Keating to tell you that I have to be honest. If you're going to make this a cornerstone of your campaign, and I did hear your remarks on election eve, I think you're going to lose. I think you have to be very, very careful. I think it's much more important to accentuate what you're going to do for the average person in your district constituency service is still the calling card of every member of the House. That's my opinion. I don't know what it's worth to you, but I'll take your reaction off the air.
Well, thank you, David. I'm glad in Fall River, out of the district, you're listening to my election night results and my remarks so carefully. I do think that it's important, and it's just not about the area of the sexual assault and the cover-up that occurred with that. It's the other areas I mentioned. The degree from a school that doesn't exist, lying on your bar application, not having the trust of your police chief that you work for. But you're right in this sense, too. The other area of trust I talked about is what are we going to do with some of the issues that are affecting our personal financial security as well as our economic ability to go forward. And look at another issue that I think is an issue of this campaign that shows who's battling for the middle class and who's protecting the special interest, and that's the issue of Wall Street. One of the reasons we're in this economic situation was the full collapse of Wall Street and the recklessness and greed that was there on the part of the people that were the only people making money during the last 8 years or so. And that result was at least addressed by Barney Frank and the Financial Services Committee and Congress and the Senate this year in trying to provide some safeguards. I want to keep those safeguards there so the people that did this aren't in charge again, and we don't go through the same turmoil and the same personal misery that occurred when everyone's savings were so diminished. So Jeff Perry wants to take those regulations and safeguards and repeal them, take them away and leave us exposed to the same people that put us in this mess in the first place. So whether it's issues of Wall Street protection, whether it's issues of Social Security, whether it's the middle class tax cut or jobs. And speaking of jobs, you know, that's another area of difference.
Mr. Keating, before we run out of time, let me ask you a Tea Party-related question, because Jeff Perry has said he would not welcome Sarah Palin if she offered to campaign for him. In fact, he derisively called her an entertainer. What do you make of Perry distancing himself from Palin, given that he likes to align himself with the Tea Party movement in some ways?
Well, and I think the next day, if I'm not mistaken, on another radio station, he was saying how much he loved Sarah Palin. So whether she's there or not, it doesn't matter, frankly. I'll tell you what's really important. It's who's really going to show up. Who's the person that's going to show up to be the person representing this district? Are they going to be a person you can trust? Are they going to be a person that you can't? Are they going to be a person that's going to continue tax breaks for outsourcing jobs that put people out of work here? Or are they going to be making sure that the tax loopholes are that are closed to keep jobs in the country? So that's the two levels that this is working on.
Bill Keating, Norfolk County District Attorney, thank you for coming in. Bill Keating is the Democratic candidate for the 10th District Congressional seat. We appreciate that you came to the studio.
Sasha, thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up after a short break, our political roundtable examines this race and other campaign news, including a new poll showing Governor Deval Patrick neck and neck with his Republican challenger, Charlie Baker. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.